Today is July 10th. We are here at United Orthodox Synagogues. We are at our second Shabbat Chabura, and today we will discuss the laws of whether or not it is permitted to set up a coffee maker to make fresh brewed coffee on Shabbat morning. Of course, the use of timers on Shabbat is a widespread practice. Most frequently, they're used to control the lighting, both in our homes and in our shuls. They're also used to control the climate, the air conditioning, and the heating. But here, it seems, when we're talking about cooking or making coffee on Shabbat, we're asking a different question, and that is the permissibility of using the timers to allow for bishul, for cooking, to occur on Shabbat. Bishul is a very serious prohibition on Shabbat, and we generally assume that cooking cannot take place on Shabbat. Our question specifically is, if we put all of the ingredients in the coffee maker, the water and the coffee, etc., and set the timer to turn on Shabbat morning, so that we would have a fresh brewed cup of coffee on Shabbat morning, would such a thing be permissible? So first of all, there's a maybe well-known, but certainly a documented evidence from Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chatam Sofer. He had a practice. He would stay up on Friday nights learning, and they would take a break for coffee for their studies, from their studies to drink some coffee, for some freshly brewed coffee. The way they did this is, and this is all noted in the book Amot Shel Halacha, Halachic Insights by Rabbi Ari Enkin, and he notes there in footnote 2 where this practice is noted. He says they would prearrange for their coffee to be fresh by lighting a wick before Shabbat that would slowly burn and reach a pile of wood at about midnight, igniting a fire, which would then cook the coffee, which had been prepared and placed on the timber before Shabbat began. So what we have here, right off the bat, is a Maaseh Rav, an example of a halachic practice done by a Gadol B'Torah, the Chatam Sofer, a major posek, that he allowed this very thing. Very little difference, actually, in theory, between what he did, which is lighting a long wick, and between that and what we're suggesting, which is to set up the coffee maker to go on Shabbat. What we're going to do now is turn to the Penine Halacha of Rav Melamed. He is this is the sefer we've been learning. And this analysis comes from the volume called Harchavot. There's volume Aleph and volume Bet, and there's also the volume called Harchavot, which are more detailed explanations of Hilchot Shabbat. So first, Rav Melamed notes that this may be a Isur Derabanan, a rabbinic prohibition. He bases this on something we learn in the Gemara in Masechet Beitza that talks about a whole assembly line of people who are engaged in bringing different things which will eventually end up in Bishul. One brings the timber, the wood, one brings the food, one brings the water, one stirs it. It says at the end, V'chulan piturin, they are all patur. Even though at the end, one of them is going to bring the fire, they are patur. But what Rav Melamed says is that means patur aval asur, meaning this is a rabbinic prohibition. They are not allowed to do it, but there's no punishment that would come with it. It's not a biblical prohibition. Rav Melamed then notes that the Ramah in Resh Nun Gimel Hey. Says also it would be prohibited for a Jew to put a pot of food on a tanur kar, on a cold stovetop, meaning a stovetop that's not on, and afterwards knowing that the nachri, that the Gentile was going to come and light it.
And he says this is similar to the case that's mentioned in Masechet Beitza. And he says, V'kach katuv harbe achronim. Many people agree with this approach. He says, V'kach katuv betzitz Eliezer. The Rav Eliezer Waldenberg also says the same thing, that you are participating in the process, even though you are not lighting the fire, even though it's not a biblical prohibition, it is a rabbinic prohibition. Rav Melamed then quotes a sefer, the Beit Ephraim, and who wonders about this whole thing, and he says, look, in the Gemara in Beitza, where it says patur av al asur, that one is not allowed to do this, that's because the Jew participated in help in all of the a Jew helped another Jew participate in the sin of cooking on Shabbat. When it comes to a non-Jew, what could possibly be the problem? After all, if a Jew puts a pot of food on a stove on Shabbos day, and then a non-Jew comes and lights it for his own sake in order for himself to eat it, what sin has a Jew done? And Rav Melamed says, "V'lo shayach kan lomar de patur aval asur." It seems like there's no room here to say that the person has done something that's not allowed. Having said that, Rav Melamed notes that the Beit Ephraim accepts the psak of the Rama. So what Rav Melamed may be alluding to here is that you could argue something similar about the clock. You're putting the stuff in there, the coffee maker. You're putting the stuff in there before Shabbos. And then it goes on its own. Maybe that's more like the case of a Jew, perhaps not, though, of a non-Jew, perhaps not. Maybe that's more like a case of a Jew doing it because the person has set everything in motion. The Jewish person has set everything in motion. Rav Melamed then entertains the possibility that not only that this is not an Isur de Rabbanan, but that this is even an Isur de Oraita. And he quotes a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin and a Gemara in Masechet Bava Kamma, and he deals with some issues of Gram Kiboy from Masechet Shabbat, and he notes that when it comes to Shabbat, the issue is Melechet Machshevet. There needs to be an intent to do something, and in this case, there is an intent. There's an intent that the food be cooked on Shabbat, even though in other cases it's indirect. On Shabbat, we normally say that an indirect action is permitted. Maybe in this case, we would look at it differently because on Shabbat, it's not a question of indirect or direct. It's a question of whether there was an intent to do this. And certainly in the case of setting up a timer to turn a coffee machine on Shabbat, there's certainly intent to do that, and so perhaps it's even a straight-out Isur d'Oraita. In the next paragraph, Rav Melamed notes that the Chazon Ish rejects that suggestion and says this is grama, this is indirect, and he says, V'grama lo asra Torah b'chol milachot. When it comes to the melachot, grama does not come to the level of an Isur d'Oraita, v'zenikra grama, and this is considered grama. And then he suggests that maybe this is even one step below grama, because there is no power at all for anything to happen until the clock reaches its assigned time to turn on the coffee machine. And that perhaps what he's saying, it's so far removed that we wouldn't even consider it grama in such a case. So these so far are the three shitot: one, that it's a rabbinic prohibition; two, that it's a biblical prohibition; three, that it's not prohibited at all according to the Chazon Ish. Rav Melamed then quotes on the bottom of page 205 Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach as follows: For Rav Orbach katav Shema Iker Hadin Ein Baze Isur, that fundamentally there is no problem here. Shehoil v'hachimum ya'aseh levado, the heating is being done on its own. Belo melacha afilu shel goy, without any melacha, even that of a Gentile. Ein ze nechshav afilu grama, it's not even considered indirect. Like I said, it's a step below. Benosaf lekach, rabim sovrim shegrama muteret afilu shelo b'makom hefsed. Additionally, he says that according to some authorities, indirect melacha on Shabbat is permitted even when there is no concern for financial loss. In the end, he says, we should not rule this way, but nonetheless, in theory, he says, it's permitted. Rav Melamed deals with an additional concern mentioned by the Tzitz Eliezer, that there's a concern that the person is going to come to stir the food in such a case, which is not prohibited when the food is on the fire. Rav Orbach actually rejects that concern, because we already know that we are permitted to leave food on a blech from Erev Shabbat, even though there's a potential that a person is going to come to stir it, and nonetheless we allow it. Hishiv letzitz Eliezer. This is Rav Orbach. She'ein makom legzori sur bazeh v'machashash mishum hagasa halo matzinu she'ein choshim lahagasa shechein im hakira grufa ketuma mutar lahashot alav tafshil she'ein mevushal v'lo chashashu lahagasa. That as long as we have a blech and we're not concerned that the fire is going to be turned up, we allow people to leave food on the blech on Shabbat, even if it's not fully cooked from before Shabbat, and we're not concerned for hagasa. So he says we should. Tzitz Eliezer is not really permitted, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch, to add additional gezeirot. V'chein olem b'divarav she'afilu m'yaniach b'Shabbat ein kol kach isur v'lachein pshita she'mutar laniach al haplata be'erev Shabbat ma'achal lo mevushal she'etchil hitbashel be'emtza Shabbat. He's even the Tzitz Eliezer. I'm sorry, Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch even entertains the possibility that you could put it on Shabbat. Certainly, however, he says, leaving it there before Shabbat, that's not cooked, and allowing it to cook once Shabbat starts and to finish on Shabbat, that would certainly be okay. V'gam l'sovrim shehu isur grama afilu isur d'rabanan ein makom l'gzor machmato b'erev Shabbat. He says we can't extend that prohibition of indirect cooking back to something which is all done on Erev Shabbat. Rav Malabit then turns to a fascinating application of this, which many of us would consider even more extreme than making coffee. He says, "Diun ze ma'asi ma'od l'mechona la'afiyat lechem." This is a very practical issue regarding a bread maker. "V'ra'iti tshuva shekatav harav Re'em HaKohen v'hitirzot." He notes a tshuva written by Rabbi Re'em HaKohen, who allows this. Mishum she'ein ba gezeirot chitui b'gechalim, shechein i'efshar l'shanot et tochnit ha'afiyah la'achar hatchalat talich. On page 208, Rav Melamed says that the reason Rav HaKohen allowed this is because there's no concern here that the person is going to turn up the flame, because you can't do that once the bread machine has started. Rav Melamed also, in that same paragraph, rejects the concern that this is nolad, an item or a substance evolving into a new existence or assuming a new form that it did not have before Shabbat. He also talks about the possibility that this would be a violation of Shmiat Kol, of having too loud of a noise, which would be a zilzul of Shabbat, which would be a desecration or a denigration, if you will, on Shabbat. But it seems that that's not really a problem, because these bread machines are pretty quiet. And he says himself, "Ulam kfi shekatavti la'el, nireshe mitzad ze ein lahachmir." We're talking about a loud noise, like something that's grinding wheat. But this humming, low-grade humming noise does not seem to be the problem. Discussions of a washing machine running on Shabbat, again, assuming that it's set to go on. But he says those are talking about loud machines that make old machines that make a loud noise. So finally, his sikum is nira shem ikar hadin eini sur lasot be'erev Shabbat divrim shiigmur labishul b'Shabbat. There seems to be no problem about doing this. V'chenira davar ze eino osur al pi achat hagzerot shekvar gazru chachamim. It doesn't fit into any of the pre-existing categories that we deal with in terms of Shabbat, halachot, and cooking from Chazal. He's left with sort of pondering whether or not it's a wise idea for people to for poskim to say that these things, that this is mutar, that this is permitted, especially the well, not especially, but specifically the example of the baking machine, the bread machine on Shabbos. Maybe it's a better idea to be strict. And he seems to say that it depends on how things play out over time. And if people do it, and if people do it, and they still maintain the spirit of Shabbat, it becomes something done in the within the observant community. Then he says it's going to spread, and he likens this to the original question of using a Shabbat clock with a light, which originally, which Rav Moshe Feinstein is opposed to, was opposed to, but nonetheless, it still became very, very widespread. And Rav Melamed says a similar thing will happen with this. But his final position is that certainly, from a halachic perspective, it's permitted to do this. And again, I'll end the way I started with the specific Maaseh Rav that we have of the Chatam Sofer who did this with his older type of method, less technologically advanced method, but nonetheless the same idea that he sets something in motion before Shabbat for actual cooking to happen on Shabbat, and he did it, and therefore Rav Melamed, Rav Orbach, and other poskim suggest that doing such a thing is also perfectly permitted on Shabbat. Shalom.